Did you remember?
No,
that?
I didn't know. I knew that they had it down by the river.
Well, but that, it was right there first, right where the viaduct is. Kids go over there and ramble around over on that dump. It was right there where the city buildings are, uh-huh. where the viaduct is, where the city dump was when we lived there.
Well, I'll be.
And in the winter time or any time, living so close to the tracks, and when they bumped them cars, you know, coal fell off. Heck, us kids went out there with the gunny sacks and picked up coal. We always had enough coal for winter.
Keep warm.
Yeah, lots of coal.
Uh-huh. It was a different time.
But you know, the worst, what gets me is, John, is this. Here I lived over there at the viaduct. I walked up to this high school, walked home and had my lunch, walked back to school and come home. Now that kid today can't even walk up there once.
I know.
Now, can you picture that? And they have to eat at the cafeteria.
Yeah. Well, I didn't live too far from where you walked because I lived at the corner of First and Grandy there. Or Palmer.
You're bringing that up, that's what I wanted to ask you. Do you remember a guy lived over here on, where did he come in? It's Oak and Cedar. I think he said he lived on Oak and you lived on...
First.
Well, did you know a guy by the name of Clarence Camel?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes, he was a carpenter.
And he had a son, and his son's name is Clarence Campbell. He said they lived over there.
He worked at Mount Emily Mill as a carpenter. And when I first moved to LeGrand, they lived on Adams down there by Sears Meat Market. We lived next to Sears Meat Market. Clarence Campbell lived in the next house.
Well,
and he had two daughters, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, come to find out that this Clarence Campbell's mother was Charlie Peck's sister.
Oh.
Charlie Peck and that other Peck, whatever his name is, he passed away here a while back.
Elmer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, this dude, there she went on.
Now, the biggest changes that you've seen in LeGrand, what?
The biggest changes I've seen in LeGrand that disappoints me is when they move Safeway store.
I can understand that.
Now, that's my biggest change.
That's where you bought your groceries.
And the next biggest change that I've always griped, if that old Catholic hospital up here, it was not good enough for a hospital. Why did they condemn it and build this great big new one up here on the side of the mountain?
Well, that isn't exactly what happened.
Isn't it?
What happened, they run out of sisters to run the Catholic hospital. Yeah.
And then they said it wasn't,
I didn't ever hear that it was condemned because Bob Wylam was on the board at the time.
Well, they just can't get sisters anymore.
That's true. You know, it sure made a difference when they took the old Grand Mountain Hospital and put it up where the new one is. But they hardly let you stay a day in the hospital.
Harlan, that hit me up there here a while back from my mammogram, and he said, "Do you know where in the hell we're going?" I said, "No." I said, "We'll go in the front door and we'll go from there." Well, when we got in there, I walked over there to the pink lady, you know, and asked her. Well, she said, "It's right there." And I looked over there in the corner, and here was a little table sitting there, and a woman sitting there, and that was the office.
Yeah, they've changed that now.
I guess they finally got moved back there someplace.
Yeah.
And she told, that girl told me, and I signed in, and she told me just go down that hall, and I said, "Is it where it was?" And she said, "Yes."
Well, it was quite a big change for you when you moved from Mount Emily Camp into LeGrand.
Yeah.
Because you had water and all these things that...
Well, we had water.
Well, I mean... water bills to pay. You didn't have to pay for water up at camp.
We didn't have to even pay for our fuel. They furnished it
uh-huh.
for us.
Well, that was good.
Yeah, they finished it, the house, our house, it, and the fuel. Well, see, the way the house come up was, John, we was living in that house at headquarters.
Uh-huh.
And when Oscar lost his leg, Mr. Stang and Mr. Kingsville gave us that house.
Uh-huh.
So, when Oscar got well enough to get out of the hospital, it'd be a year before he could go to work. So the Mount Emily Lumber Company moved that little house with the train down to the ranch.
Oh.
And sit it kind of in the gate there where you go up to Dean Stone's now, kind of there. The, and we lived there for a year.
Oh.
Then when he got able to go back to work, they moved that back down there about where Wesley lived, mm-hmm. in this end of the camp.
Yeah.
And they gave Elsa and I another house. It was closer to the cookhouse and stuff.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Then when we moved to the river camp, we was to trade that house for the one at the river camp. It's there now. And that's the one they beat us out of.
Uh-huh.
But just like I told Oscar afterwards, we was both mad.
Yeah.
But I told Oscar I wouldn't have lived there. There ain't nothing there.
Nothing there now.
No, there ain't nothing there. And with his condition, what do we want to be there for?
Yeah. Well, even your nephew, Jimmy, tried to keep that house up there above Abel's store, and it kept being broke into and what have you. Seems like you can't keep anything people try to tear up.
Well, right here in the city of LeGrand, you kick that paper up at night, it's getting terrible, and the people breaking into their houses.
Yeah. It,
But I missed it when we moved here, because when we was there, that we was the only ones that was there, and it was quiet.
Uh-huh.
The only time we had noises is when the trucks was going. And when we moved down here, when I moved here, that white house on the corner was there. Mr. Belden lived there.
Uh-huh.
And this little house right there was there. And Ralph Coates' house.
Down here.
And this little bitty one sitting back here was the only houses there was here.
And then the greenhouses sit over here on 4th and Walnut.
The house was over there.
I mean, Adams and Walnut.
Yeah,
I said,
Cherry's greenhouse.
Yeah.
That's what was there. And there wasn't nothing back here. I used to just walk right out here and go out there and walk right up to the hospital.
Uh-huh.
And go to work and then come back.
Well, they had Red Shutter Motel there behind.
That was there.
They haven't done anything with that lot.
No, and you know they got in there here a while back and they cleaned that all off and they had a scoop in there cleaning it up. And I said, Arlen, I wonder what they're going to put there. Well, there ain't much room to put anything coming in off that curve. Wesley said to me one day, he said, well, why don't you walk over there to Burger King? And I said, because I'm afraid to.
Yeah.
If I go out here and just go across, there is no marks there for that crosswalk. So I have to walk on down to the corner where that house is on the corner of the fence. And there's a crossing there and there's marked. Well, John, what if I was going across right out there and the car is coming down off there at 35 and 40 miles an hour? And I feel what's going to happen.
I can appreciate.
Isn't that what something?
Do you remember when Luce come around that corner and hit the house there where the Stardust Motel is now and knocked it off its foundation?
Yeah. And that's what I told Wesley. I said, Wesley, I said, I'm afraid to walk over there and cross there. I said, and I have to walk on down to the corner and cross for that house, and cross over there, and then go in there. Mm-hmm. Well, it's getting too far for me to walk anymore, John, on account of my legs and my balance. And I said, I'm afraid to go over there and cross that street, afraid I'll get hit. Well, that Mrs. Hauser, she's that lady that works in the bakery up there, the Safeway's mother.
Oh, uh-huh.
You know that blonde?
Uh-huh, yes.
Well, Mrs. Hauser got hit out there.
Oh, boy.
Knocked her down, but it didn't hurt her.
Yeah, well.
She used to walk, because Housers lived there in that house where Burger King is, you know, now.
Uh-huh.
And she used to walk over to this restaurant near the farmhouse, and she got hit.
Isn't it strange that Houts 24 Flavors is still there?
He's just too tight. He won't. He don't want to sell it. He wants too much money.
Oh.
And you know why he can't rent it?
No.
Well, he thinks, not John, this is gossip. He thinks he's such a businessman.
Oh.
But I can tell him something that I figured out one day myself. If I owned that, he's got a tooth stall garage sale.
Uh-huh.
He don't need that. He could go ahead and rent that little ice cream parlor there and have it a little sandwich shop or whatever. And he could have a restroom right there in that other garage. And that's what stops him, because he can't have that little restaurant there and not a restroom.
Oh.
And you go in there, and then there's a door goes out of that into their kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a restroom there, but they can't use that.
Can't use it that way.
That's the reason why he can't do nothing with it, and he wants too much money for the whole mess.
Yeah.
But Helen's always wanted to sell it.
Well, I knew it sat there empty for a lot of years.
But Charlotte, you know their daughter?
I didn't know their daughter.
She married McCoy. They've got them a beautiful home at the Wawa Lake. We're going up there this weekend.
Oh.
We're going up and visit Wally Thompson. Do you know him? He was a brakeman on the railroad. He was Arlen's brakeman. Conductor, rather.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about.
His wife got killed. He was a railroad. He got killed over to Huntington.
Oh.
Janice somebody. Uh-huh. She was a school teacher.
Yeah.
Well, anyhow, when you drive into the lake, like where the boat landing is up here, McCoy's is about the second house over here on this side from the boat landing. They're right next door to who had the BMW. Who was that? Rangus?
Rangage.
Yeah, well, they're right next door to their place, and that's that place is for sale. Just like they moved out of it, John. Everything's there, niches, everything, furniture and everything, and you buy the whole thing. And that's where Wally and his wife got their house. It's up the lake, close to where the Kepper place was.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they got. Bedding, everything was in the thing. They got Mrs. Meppin's house.
Yeah.
Bernice Meppin.
I hadn't thought about her for years.
Well, that's the house that Wally and Janice got.
Yeah.
So we're supposed to go up there because they've been doing a lot of remodeling. Mm-hmm. And then we're supposed to go see Gary and Charlotte.
Oh.
Boy, that Charlotte looks bad. Mm-hmm. She's just so thin. I didn't know her.
Well.
She's got cancer awful bad.
Yeah. What did you think of the population change? Do you think LeGrand has grown about the right size?
Well, I think, when we stop and think about it, I think sometimes that we got more people than they think we got.
Well, that could be.
Because if, every time you pick up the paper, here's all these baby boomers, where are they going?
Well, that's true that the younger people can't find jobs here. You either have the mill, the railroad has moved a lot out, there's not a lot of railroad left.
No.
The college hires quite a few.
But you can't really count them because they're not here long enough, are they?
Well, the people that work at the college, there's quite a lot of employment.
You can count them.
Yeah. And ODS, you know, this insurance company that's where the old telephone company was, I think that's going to be a real shot in the arm for LeGrand to have that many jobs that they say they'll hire 50 more people. And that's non-polluting. I think it'd be good for the community.
And another thing that I've seen in the paper and I've heard, like we say, I've been here all my life and I never heard of anything only the Beaver Intake.
Uh-huh.
But now it's the LeGrand Reservoir or something. Watershed, it is LeGrand Pond.
Well, it was the watershed back 50-some years ago when I worked in the city.
And now they've changed the name to LeGrand something.
Well, they want to keep that water available in case they ever need it.
Well, did you see that in the paper the other night? They put LeGrand, then they had parentheses, the watershed. Beaver intake, it said.
But That's where the city got its water all those years.
Well, did I tell you about walking up, about going up there and camping when I was 16?
No.
Oh, God. There's a people lived here in LeGrand, and his name was Ray Noyes.
Uh-huh.
And his mother lived here, too, the Noyes.
Arlo's mother?
Well, evidently.
Uh-huh.
And this Ray Noyes was the head of the telephone thing here. Telephone office, you know, like.
Yeah.
So they was visiting up at Starkey's, some people that we knew, and I happened to be up there at these people's house, and Ray and Lolita Noyes and this other couple was going to Beaver Intake fishing and camping, and they invited me to go along. So Mom and Papa let me go, and they had a team in a wagon now on a tent, and they went down there at the Condit place and crossed that little bridge, you know, right after the Condit place, and went up that little road. Now that'll take you to the Young's place.
Right.
We went up that road, took us all day to get to the intake, and we stayed there a couple of nights, and they fished in that lake.
That's where the city water came. It was so cold in the old days.
It was good water.
It was good water before we got the wells.
Well, John, now is that road open all the time, or do you have to walk?
They locked the gate. They opened it for a few days, and then they locked the gate, and you've got to walk up to the intake.
Quite a ways to walk.
Yeah.
I'm not going to walk up there to fish.
No. They changed the way to go there.
To fish.
You used to go up the Rankins and around that way,
and then
up by J. Dale Stanley's place.
Yeah, well, when we went past the Young's place and all that, and you could come out on the bridge and go in there. But it said in the paper the other night, you could have two trout and the rest, all the brook trout you want.
True.
But I haven't been fishing anymore. I haven't been fishing since Lester's been gone. We went every weekend, sometimes twice a week.
I know you used to fish a lot.
I like Grand Round Lake especially.
That's a nice lake. Mm-hmm. Up there by Anthony Lake.
John, every time that was something you can remember, John. There's like, you go up there and park, then it's like that, but Arlen took me there to go back. And then you go on this side of the lake,
uh-huh.
and you go over there quite a ways, and there's a great big rock, kind of way over at the end of the lake where the spillway is. So I was sitting on this big rock, had my pole and my basket and all this stuff, two of the pack of box, and Lester was fishing out over here a little ways, and boy, we was catching off a nice fish pretty quick. I caught a fish, I remembered, I caught this fish, and I cast it back out. The next thing I knew, here was Lester standing right there alongside of me, and he said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Well," I thought he lost his mind, and I said, "Well, yes, I'm all right, what's the matter?" Well, he said, "You keeled over backwards." Well, John, he said it is. I was sitting on that rock, and I had on my little straw hat because it was hot, and I just went over backwards, and he said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "Well, yeah, what's the matter?" Well, he said, "You keeled up, you keeled over." And I said, "Well, I'm all right, but I never thought anything about it." And he said, "Do you want to go home?" And I said, "No." I said, "There ain't nothing matter with me." I said, "We're going to stay here till we get our fish, because we're just about ready to get out of there." So when we got home and everything, and he said, "Well, I think you better go see the doctor." So that night, I went in to take my bath to get ready and go to bed and everything, and I was washing and combing my hair. Here is this little knot on the back of my head where I bumped it on that rock.
On that rock.
So I went up to Dr. Fredrickson, and I think he thought I was nuts, and he gave me an electrocardiograph and went all in, and he said he couldn't find anything wrong. So what happened? It must have been just a little blood clot or something passed through.
Just for a moment.
But wouldn't that have been something now, him and I up there, and not a soul in sight?
Yeah.
He'd had to come clear into North Potter and got any help.
Well, that's true.
But when he asked me, he's said, "Are you all right?" I thought, well, I thought there was something wrong with him. Well, is Patty getting pretty good since she had her kidney stone?
Yes, yes, she's been fine. That Pat. Did you ever fish on the Grand Round River down to what they call High Banks? Near this side of Riverside Park?
I never have fished down in this.
You never fished down on this?
The farthest I ever fished was just back at the ranch and to the Condit place.
Uh-huh. Wesley said when you were kids that you did a lot of fishing down there. And
yeah, well, I was mostly behind the ranch, down as far as Condit's place, we know.
Yeah. It was a nice place to grow up there.
And in those days, we have lots coming.
Uh-huh.
There never was a weekend that Mama didn't have a whole house full. Big dinners and stuff like that.
And that goes back to the time that people helped one another.
Yeah, and like Arlen and I was talking, coming down from New Pine the other day, and he said, just think of all them big picnics that they used to have at the ranch. They'd go over there in the grove, you know, over the cottonwoods, and it was beautiful.
Uh-huh.
The kids could play in the river, and the Bartlemuses and all of us get together and have a great big dinner. Some of them come up from town. And now people don't do that.
No, they don't, and hardly know their neighbors. Those were good times. Good times to remember.
Like they had a little reception, so Jim and Arlene. Oscar already passed away because Lester and I went to it. It was in the Union Hall down here on Avenue.
Uh-huh.
They had a little reception there. And there was a lot of us there, you know, what was left. And they mentioned then that it would be nice if we had kind of a little reunion, all got together and had a picnic. Well, nobody seemed to be interested, and one in the family said they didn't have time.
Yeah.
So that was dropped, and they never have had anything.
Well, that's too bad.
It is, you know, they just don't
for,
do it.
For activities, when you were in town, did you ever go to the Zuber Hall to dances?
Yeah, lots of times. I went there pretty near every time they had a dance.
And that was almost every Saturday night?
Every Saturday night when I stayed at Aunt Nell's and I was going to school.
Uh-huh.
Uncle Garrett lived there with her, and she had a stepson, Charlie Wilson, lived with her. Mm-hmm. And Aunt Frieda got to go to all the dances, and then either Uncle Garrett or Charlie brought me home to see I got home. But, oh, it was nice. Them two little guys could really dance.